So I work with Berry Crops, so I might be sort of a misfit for this group, but I wanted to share some results from a project we have with the goal of hoping that maybe when we are discussing future efforts, we might be able to maybe incorporate some of this information into that discussion. So this is our project. It was an SERI project, a lot of universities and great people involved with it. So, you know, when I saw this, the question I was trying to answer was really what can we do better or differently in high tunnels to assist organic producers, and so that's what I'm trying to focus on. And so I'm going to talk about each of these things just a little bit. One is using different plastic covers to affect pest behavior. There may be different reasons for why that's happening. Also, some of the cultural controls maybe we can take advantage of that might help out in these production systems. We also know that, you know, sometimes with berry crops you can decrease some diseases for an assortment of reasons. And then there are some questions like, might high tunnels allow use of some of the safer pesticides that break down quickly in the field? And what are some of the biocontrols that might be suited to a high tunnel environment? So what I just want to show real quickly here is that what our project was about was focusing on using different plastic covers that had different abilities to transmit light through the plastic tunnels with the intent of being able to affect how insects and some of the diseases were occurring. So if you take a look, basically what you're looking is percent light transmittance from sunlight hitting the tunnels. On the left side is ultraviolet light coming through. The square is visible, and PAR is in there. And to the right, near infrared, which will affect heat buildup. And so what we did was we chose five different plastic covers. What I want to point out is if you look at the UV light transmittance on these graphs, okay, 100 at the top, 0 at the bottom if you can't see in the back, we had a wide range of UV transmittance through these tunnels. And so these were put, what you're seeing is three, for example, in the one on the lower right, three different tunnels where we were measuring the light coming in. There were three tunnels with each of these plastics, but sometimes the lines are right over top of each other, so it looks like one line. So we had these different plastics on the tunnels, and what we did was we grew the berries in containerized production because we didn't want all those things we're hearing about with soils. We had different nutrient buildup levels in some of these tunnels. They've been used for 20 some years at this point. And so we didn't want that to affect our results, so we grew in containers. And so we had raspberries and strawberries in there. And I just want to show you, this is our populations of Japanese beetles in these tunnels. So this is one group of pests, the scarab beetles that are affected by both light levels and ultraviolet light. And so some other insects are affected, but not all. So it really varies. So what you're looking at on the left is the top line is the number of beetles we had outside of the tunnels. We had three tunnels that didn't have covers on them. And then basically what I just want to point out was our populations were greatly affected by the covers that were on. And the more UV, especially UVA that was blocked, the fewer beetles we had. And so this was published in Hort Science in May. Maria Kramer was the first author, if anybody wants to look that up and read more about it. One of the other things we were looking at was trying to manage spotted winged Drosophila, which, if you don't know that one, that's basically a fruit fly that has really wreaked havoc with raspberry production. And so we were looking at a combination of cultural and efforts where we could control management. And so basically what you see is that the number of adults in the tunnels are generally lower, maybe because it's warmer and drier. But we could also manage the canopy different. We could keep the harvest more clean, and we could harvest more frequently. And so we could use a combination of effects. And again, this is published on our, there are different publications on our website. And the only thing I really want to point out in all these numbers is we don't have stats on it because we had all kinds of interactions depending on which experiment we did. But right lines 3 and 4 in the data was that if we did a combination of things, we could bring down numbers a lot without using any pesticides. And so that was a pretty good reduction from things we could do in tunnels, which we couldn't have done out in the field successfully or consistently. I also want to show strawberry fruit anthracnose, big disease issue. Basically, just the factor in a tunnel helps. And then the other question is, might there be some different effects from pesticides? If you look, we do have some publications on pesticides not breaking down as quickly in the tunnels. And so maybe even some of the organic or biocontrols or biopesticides might have greater effectiveness there. And then, of course, there are some problems that are worse. One thing we didn't get to address on our project that we wanted to was the use of plastics. And unfortunately, that was bad timing because we were looking at plastics and plastics recycling efforts. The plastics recycling market kind of dried up. So that might be something else to address. So I want to thank a bunch of people, thank our funding agencies, and that would be it.